cliffcentral.com. At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Welcome to Leadership Transformation Platform, Multiplying Authentic Leaders, Moving Society. It's fantastic to be with you. I'm Adrian Groenewald, and today is a very different show. Everything leadership, go to leadershipplatform.com. Two P's in the middle, one word. It's a privilege to be here. It's a different leadership masterclass. For those of you who don't know, every Monday, 12 to 1, we have our leadership masterclass on Cliff Central, where we interview top leaders, top experts, and we have those difficult conversations where we need to about real leadership issues with real leaders out there. Today is a very different show. We're at the Nelson Mandela Foundation, taking our youth leadership platform to another level. It's an initiative sponsored by Sibanye, which we're very grateful for. And we hope to take this conversation with youth and current leaders in the society to another level, and certainly deeper and deeper into our communities. To introduce the initiative, we've got Thabisile Phumo, Senior Vice President, Corporate Communications and Stakeholder Engagement at Sibanye. She's going to share a few thoughts with us, and then we'll go from there. Thabisile.
Good morning. I have to explain the disclaimer, but I'll do that later. Because this is a radio show, we always hear on Metro FM where they say the views expressed on this show are not of the sponsors. So we just felt we are a mining company. We don't know anything about disclaimers. Let's just issue it anyway. Firstly, let me welcome the guests here today. I'll start with you, Silo. Thank you so much. We are very honored. In fact, when you said Mandela served and spoke to the media in this room, this is therefore a befitting venue for us to launch this initiative, especially on Youth Month. Think about 2 years ago, we partnered with the Leadership Platform in Cliff Central, where our goal was to actually begin to say, let's South Africa converse on things that are important. We called upon different leaders in South Africa. I think for 2 years, we had a wide range of leaders that were inputting on critical conversations in the country. But we began to see, I think 2 years down the line, that a voice was missing. And that was the voice of young people, which is why today we are proud as Sibanye to join ourselves with Cliff Central, with Student Brands, with the Leadership Platform, to actually create a platform where young people can converse about all sorts of topics. And when we started thinking about what did we want them to talk about, and we had a pre-show last week, my view was let them decide what they want to talk about. But we are hoping that we will create a platform that you would use, they call it social media, and at Cliff Central, I believe, is such a nice platform where you could begin to converse on things that matter. When we had Fees Must Fall, my view was, you know, it would have been good for us to start it in the boardroom and decide how we get ourselves forward instead of burning stuff in the streets. We are not saying this is going to be a platform that answers all your questions, but it's a platform where you guys would want to talk on issues that matters, conversations that are focused, where we can create opportunities for youth. I'm very pleased to also advise that as Sibanye, one of the other things we saw we should sponsor is a youth entrepreneurship program. We are not obviously going to help people become entrepreneurs, but what we are going to launch in the next couple of weeks is a toolkit for a young person wanting to start a business, from how do you register, where do you go to SARS, how do you do your filing, all sorts of things, so that for those young people who want to start businesses, you don't have to run around asking 50 different offices. We will provide you with that guide, but we hope that the Leadership Platform through Cliff Central will also be able to bring leaders that will initiate the conversations, because we had a conversations with Bongani the other day who was saying young people are not setting up businesses the right way. And my view again, and the view of Sibanye, is we possibly have not been talking about business the right way. We have been showing you businesses and the media in broadly where people are driving Mercedes Benzes, people are living in big houses, but that's not the business of business. We want to show you business where hard work is the foundation of business. Creativity is the foundation of business. Being competitive is the foundation of businesses, so that all the other things like the Mercedes Benzes and all the other things that people need are a nice to have. We want to see young people of South Africa competing globally. We want you to go kick butt in China, kick butt in the US. And you have seen that as Sibanye, we recently became the South African company that owns a company in the US. So it's not a US company owning us. We have set ourselves up at Sibanye to kick butt globally. And I'm using that word because it's young people, so that's not the... That's not the official Sibanye speak, but I'm trying to fit in here. Please help me. But why did we do this? We do this because we believe in youth. Our purpose is we want to improve lives. This is not the answer. It is a step in the right direction. We are hoping that other partners will come and join us and amplify this and use as many platforms as possible to make the voices of young people heard. But what do we offer as Sibanye? And I think it's important that you know. We assist in education, and I'm glad we've got our colleagues from the Department of Education here today. We assist in education from early childhood development right up till high schools. We've got programs that we run with the universities over and above bursaries at the University of UJ and at the University of Wits. We are funding mining and engineering courses. We also do have learnerships, bursaries for qualifying students in mining, engineering, and other technical qualifications. And I think sometimes we do look at aspects such as accounting and stuff like that. But we do have portable skills. We have realized that due to the challenges of the quality of education in some of the operations areas where we operate, some of our learners are not able to get themselves through universities. And for those, we offer portable skills such as plumbing, farming, electrical skills. But we are also beginning to support TVET colleges so that we can enable as many young people as possible to get into a formal employment or set up their own businesses. We are really proud of what we are going to launch in the next couple of weeks, which is youth entrepreneurship. We did trial it out in the West Rand. I don't know if people know a place called Carltonville. You're Joburg people. Have you heard about it? 3 traffic lights and that's it. There is 1 traffic cop that side of the world. But we have trialed it out, and that's how we found out. Oh, the mayor is here. I apologize. How many traffic lights? 5, no? Anyway, but there are traffic lights there. We do career expos in maths and science. We do it all the way in the Free State. We do a lot of them in Soweto, Rand West, Carltonville area. We are also proud of our Take a Girl Child to School program. What we are going to launch, and I've got to acknowledge the SRC members who are here today from Wits, UJ, Tekis, and Open Window Universities, we are going to try and facilitate training and development program for SRCs because we believe that's an incubator for the leaders of this country, and we are hopeful that together with the universities and the relevant student bodies, we'll be able to create a platform for growth and for development. I am told I've got to acknowledge this, the following dignitaries, and I've done it the other way around because today's a youth day and we didn't want to bore them with protocol observed and all of that. There's no such a thing, so I've got to list people's names. Our Western District Mayor, Onat Boisi Maneli, we're thankful that you are here today. From the Department of Education, Mr. Opa Kwapeng, Ms. Nomveli Sompongo, Mr. Sam Mulepo, Mr. Rauf Abdul, Mr. Lebias Tale, we thank you so much. From the Office of the Premier, Ms. Ntombikayi Seshangase Zulu, Mr. Sfiso Ndaba, we thank you so much. It is important that we acknowledge the presence of government with us today because we cannot run a collaborative program without all the relevant stakeholders. Where I come from, in the mines, we do a lot of work together with the municipalities. We are very proud of some of the things. I believe the West Rand is the top metric district in Gauteng, and it's because of the partnership that we have with the government. I also want to acknowledge Rina Bloomberg, the co-founder of Cliff Central. This is a new platform, new technology, and I believe it responds very well to the needs of the youth. I will be amiss if I did not acknowledge an Olympian in our midst. Natalie, we are really honored for you to be with us today. And lastly, I'd like to close with what Nelson Mandela said. To the youth of today, I also have a wish to make. Be the script writers of your destiny and feature yourselves as stars that showed the way towards a brighter future. On that note, on behalf of Sibanye, we would like to challenge you to join us on this journey. We would like you to challenge us if this journey is not how you want to experience it. Thank you.
Thank you, Tabasile. I must say, I wasn't nervous at all, Selo, until you explained the context of who stood here before and when he stood here. And I started thinking, oh gosh, I didn't think of it that way exactly, but it's an honor to be here. Mongani, while you make your way to the podium so that we don't have too many gaps, the Leadership Platform team with Sibanye will be facilitating this fantastic project. Why? Because we multiply authentic leadership or authentic leaders in society, because that's the way you move society forward. And we're in dire need of that in our country, and in fact, every country in the world, probably. One of our platforms, of course, as mentioned, on which we do this is Cliff Central. And it's been going for over 3 years. Okay, people had lots to say, and it's getting stronger and stronger. So do tune in there, of course, via the internet. Ongani Tau, together with Sasha Lee, they run a weekly youth leadership platform for a while already on Cliff Central, and this is now an extension of this vision. He's going to share a few thoughts with us. He kind of helps produce it and then co-presents it every single week. Ongani, go for it.
Since everyone is starting with disclaimers, I thought maybe I should offer mine as well. My life mantra is simple. I don't have footsteps to follow in because I'm pioneering my own way. I can't follow the greats because I'm seeking what they sought. I think the likes of Nelson Mandela, who stood here, paved the way for us to be able to lead a good revolution and take this country to the next level. And for us to be able to do that, we need platforms like this one that we have today. Allow me to transport you in time. In the 16th century in Brazil, the Portuguese troops took African slaves to Brazil. And when they got there, because the will of the Africans obviously was always greater, they found their way to the jungle. And when they got to the jungle, they relied on what is known as the capoeira, which is a form of martial arts that they used to defend themselves living in the jungle. And then later on, obviously, slavery was abolished. But now when they went back to the mother city or the inner cities of Brazil, they found that the capoeira, or what is commonly known today as the jinga, was outlawed. So if you practiced capoeira, you'd be imprisoned. So they needed a way and a medium to perform or practice capoeira because it was no longer a martial arts or a way for them to defend themselves, but it was a way of life. It was part of the salsa dance. It was part of everything that they did. So they took the capoeira into soccer and it made wonders for them. Unfortunately though, in 1940, when Brazil participated in the World Cup and it was hosted in Brazil, they went to the finals with Uruguay, a neighboring country, and they were beaten in the finals. And now people started to despise the capoeira or the salsa or what is known as the jinga, because that's what they used as the players were playing. And in that year, there was a young man, young black man, bright, and the key to Brazil's success as a five-star or five-time FIFA World Cup winner. This young man's nickname was Pelé. And Pelé saw that. He saw that the capoeira was finding its way out. And it was part of who the Brazilians were. And in 1940, he promised his dad, he said, "You know what, Dad? We lost today. But I promise you, I'm going to win the World Cup for Brazil." They hadn't won any World Cup. In 1948, at age 17, the youngest debut in FIFA World Cup, the young man Pelé took Brazil to the finals. But when they got to the finals, he reminded the Brazilians what Brazil was about. He took his team members from Brazil and from neighboring countries, and he told the coach, Mr. Vicente, and he said, "You know what, as Brazilians, the kind of formation that you're asking us to play, copying the Swedish people who were the hosts of the FIFA World Cup at that time, is not going to work for us. This is not the Brazil that we know. We need something that resonates with Brazil." And he took the players out, and they started doing the capoeira dance, and they started playing all the way to the streets. It lifted the moods of the players. But most importantly, when they played that final, the great Pelé, at 17 years of age, he took the ball, placed it on his chest, and he scored about 3 goals on that final. And they won 5-2 to the Swedish country. So why am I relating this to you? Is the great likes of Nelson Mandela in South Africa, your Langston Hughes, your Steve Jobs in the telecommunications industry and IT industry, a lot of people, Alan Turing, the father of computer programming, they have laid the foundation. They have set the tone. They have come up with ways and ideas to transform the different industries and different societies that they've been able to impact. So my question today is, with the platform that is available to the youth and everyone that can get involved, what is your jinga? What is your big idea? What idea can we use from you to take South Africa from where it is to where it's supposed to be? Nelson Mandela, paraphrased, said, "This is not the end of the road. when we got the freedom, but he said, it's one step for a greater journey ahead. What is your jenga?
Thank you, Bongani Tao. Excellent. Thank you so much. Selo Tang is going to just share a message with us for a few minutes. And after that, we will open up the floor for you to engage us. Thank you, Selo.
When I was asked to come and speak, I kept on asking myself, what is it that one shares with young people who should actually be the ones who tell us what we need to know? What is it that one shares with young people that can then inspire us when they should be the one who's it can inspire them when they should be the ones who inspire us? What is it that one can share with young people that you need to know that you don't already know? I struggled with this, and I went back to my office earlier on, and was trying to work out, what do I tell you? And in the 5 minutes that I've been given, I thought I should share a couple of thoughts that Madiba, at least through me knowing stuff that I've learned through the archive, you probably can take away. One of the things that I'd like to share with you is one of the key lessons of leadership is that one must have a vision, and that you share that vision publicly so that all can hold you accountable for not achieving it if you don't. And I'll tell you why this is important, because we hosted a dialogue just last week with Trevor Manuel. And Dr. Manuel then noted that Madiba was not an economist. He said he did not study economics for 1 second in his life, but he went into the presidency and he had a vision to deal with debt, for example, the national debt. And he told the whole office, you do everything possible to deal with the debt. That's vision. And once he couldn't achieve that, he then can go back and say, I did not achieve it for the following reasons. And I think it's an important thing not to hide behind not having qualifications, for example, but to say that you surround yourself with the best, because that best is what will then make you shine at a time that you're becoming more and more dim. So as the light dim, those people who are around you who become who you've selected to be the best then can then shine through. The second one is this issue of serving. We hosted President Clinton here, and he said that if there's one thing that he always felt whenever Madiba walked into the room was that he gave you this thing that you must serve every day. If 27 years in prison might have taught Madiba anything, it was that you sacrifice in order to see something come out of those that you sacrificed for. And I think it's important that through that, you then try and serve in whichever station that you occupy. It doesn't matter the station. He was talking to nurses. Madiba was talking to nurses once, and he said it doesn't matter what station you occupy, whether you're changing linen or cleaning the floors. Do it with so much pride that those who watch you do it are proud to associate and claim you as their own. And I think that's something that we should try to do as leaders. The third one is feeling stretched all the time. Some of you would know that I climbed Kilimanjaro 2 years ago. I'll be climbing Kilimanjaro again this year, in July this year. On Madiba's birthday, I'm hoping to have summited Kilimanjaro. And I do it in order to keep girl children in school. But one of the things that I did when I came back while briefing the team was that for every second on Kilimanjaro, I felt stretched. I was out of my comfort zone, and it's when you become too comfortable that you become complacent, and you therefore don't give the best that you can. And I think the moment you feel that you are not stretched, it's time to go. Whatever you're doing in life, if you are not stretched, it's time to move on. And as a leader, you must walk in every day and feel challenged. That you must have your own Kilimanjaro, you must have your own Mount Everest that you must summit on a daily basis. And if it's not there, something has died. And if it has died, it's time for you to move on. I think the last one that I want to share with you is maybe last two is that currently we're struggling as a nation, but it's something that we're struggling with around the world. We keep talking about leadership, that there's leadership vacuum, and as we know that that's not how the world operates, that you can have a vacuum. And when you have a vacuum, then that's when the what I call the moment you have or you hear the village madman making sense, you must know that you are in trouble. So the day you get into your company, the day you get to school, the day you get to whatever occupation you have, and the village madman makes sense, you are in trouble. And we are at that point in our country and in the world where village madmen are making sense. And it's time for us, those who are not village madmen and madwomen, to stand up and say, they are not doing it in my name. And I think it's important that you do that. Always just evaluate where you are as a leader and say, this is not where I should be, and this is where I have another vision to get to. Let me finish off with a note that I like finishing off on, because it tends to then capture the thing that what one needs to do all the time as a leader is to give hope. A sense that there's something that you should live for the next day. A sense that there's something worth dying for. And I use dying, not living for a reason. You'd remember that Madiba in 1964, while he was undergoing the Trevonia trial, used this stage. When you're in court, what is that? When you stand in court, I forget what. So anyway, he then said what he was willing to die for. So a few months ago, we were hosting the best of the best in the country in terms of young people, and they were in here to talk about what is the one thing that keeps you awake at night? What's that one thing that bothers you so much that it keeps you awake at night? I said that the one that keeps me awake is that we're breeding young people who have nothing to live for. So they wake up in the morning and they don't have a sense of purpose. They don't have a sense of what's there to achieve, the next level of achievement that they need to get to. And that's what keeps me awake. Unemployment rates continue to hit young people the most. We have young people who think that they should be employed and not create employment. And those are things that then keep me awake. And I then got reminded of a letter that Madiba wrote to his two daughters. Some of you might have heard me say this before. He was writing this letter in 1969 while he was sitting in prison. Madiba had served 7 years of prison time at the time. And he wrote this letter in it, and I paraphrase, most of his letters started off talking about education. He would then ask about education, not only of his children, by the way, even of the warders, etc. And this time he started similarly about education. That's why education is so important that we get right. So I'm glad that the Department of Education is here, because what we are doing is a massive injustice to the African child particularly. And we need to do something to ensure that not only do we have access, but we have quality access. So I think it's important that we say the unsayable, because when you don't hear it from your friends, your enemies will laugh behind your back. So it's better to hear from those who care about these things. But Madiba then continues to write and says that, I'm happy to learn that you can now cook chips, rice, meat, and many other things. And I'm looking forward to the day that I can spend with you in happiness for the rest of my living years. Remember that in the letter that I wrote you in 1966, I indicated that the white judge had said I should die here. I don't know that it's true, but I'm looking forward to coming out of prison. He ends off by saying, don't worry about me now. I'm happy. I'm well, full of strength and hope. This was 1969. Little did Madiba know that he still had 20 more years to go in prison. You are not in prison. You might be in a different form of prison, whether it be a prison of poverty, whether it be prison of not being creative, but you're not in prison in the form that Madiba was in. So therefore, you need to be free of those the kind of bondage of people who are in prison, and say that you carry hope even when the world says you must be hopeless. That you will continue to serve even when the world says you must be obeyed, you must be always served. That you won't be cruel in a world that says that cruelty is the way to go. So thank you very much.
At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Thank you, Sello Atang, the CEO of Nelson Mandela Foundation. Really appreciate those words. Now this platform is by the youth, for the youth, to the benefit of South Africa and our future. And yes, we have a lot of youth here in the live audience. We want your thoughts and comments on current issues in the country, the future. Okay, that's why you're here. We want you to communicate to current leaders and to each other. But of course, we also want our current leaders to communicate back to you. It can't be a one-way conversation. So this is your chance. You start queuing up there to engage the panel. We also want to hear from you as we hold different events during the course of the year. What type of events, in other words, themes, you think we should engage and debate and have conversations around. Okay, so please queue up there. Let's have you approach the panel. And as I say, you can ask questions, of course, but it's not just about questions. It's about your views. That's also very important for us. The panel is Tabasila Pumo. You've heard her from Sibanye, our partner and sponsor. We've got Sello Atang, we've got Bongani Tau, and Sasha Lee Konzelbs. The two latter ones run our youth leadership platform on Cliff Central. All right, let's have our first person come up. Grab the mic there. Where is the mic? You've got the mic? Go for it. Your thoughts, questions, directed to whoever you want.
All right. Thank you so much for this opportunity, for creating such an amazing platform in which young people can engage business, economically, physically, emotionally. I recently started an NGO that was focused on creating reusable sanitary towels to low-income communities. And the biggest challenge I faced was going to companies such as Lonmin or you know, all these other companies that we needed financial support and backup, and talking about such a taboo subject to a board of mainly dominated panel, right? And I think the issue that we need to discuss is gender discrimination within youth entrepreneurship spaces. How is it that if I wanted to create something that would leave a lasting impact within low-income communities for the girl child, that I would face discrimination, and that would obviously be a hindrance and obstacle for me to create such a platform. And then obviously engaging with the government agencies that are here, when the CEO most asked the question, what is the one thing that keeps you awake at night? I think for me, is my safety as a young black academic. I don't know whether I'll be able to get back home. The fact that I always have to put certain precautions to tell people that I am safe, because this gender-based violence issue needs to be discussed. It needs to be discussed. I don't know, my train of thought is just going away, but basically the issue of gender needs to be brought up within the youth entrepreneurship space.
Okay. Did you give your name?
Candace.
Candace. I don't think you did. Candace,
no,
thank you.
No, I didn't. Sorry.
All right. So you made some comments there. We appreciate that. Do you have a specific question? But I think gender-based violence, just the gender issue.
Yeah.
Who in the panel would like to engage Candace on that? And then we can go from there. Tabasile, you want to kick that off? Sasha Lee, maybe jump in? Any of you?
Okay, thank you so much, Candace, for your question, particularly with regards to what you're creating for young people and women in communities. I think the first things is you need to find like-minded people. A lot of companies are willing to support a holistic program to development, because we do appreciate that on the one hand, you cannot create employment when actually the people who are supposed to be employed are suffering from gender-related violence or HIV and all sorts of stuff. As Sibanye, we do have a program which we call around community health, where we are looking precisely at issues around women and how to empower women. Because if you look at a lot of communities in South Africa, you find that women are heading those households. You find that children, girl children in particular, are not going to school to head households, but you complicate the issue of sanitary towels, where we find in rural areas, young girls are not participating in school as a result. So a lot of companies are willing to support such programs, but I think it isn't how you position the value proposition for them that you will be able to get heard. Every story deserves to get heard, but the challenge is how do you position the story so that your story is top of mind, your story, you have to show people what's in it for them. And I hope with that, you would be able to restart the negotiations with the likes of ourselves and Lonmin by creating that value proposition.
I also picked up just the concern about safety, the feeling of safety, and it's not even just gender-based. I mean, that's a serious one of late, but that feeling of when you go home, are you safe? That's not good for us as a nation. Sasha Lee, comment on that, then we have to move on. We don't have a lot of time. We want as many of you to come forward as you can to engage the panel. And by the way, when you come and sit in that chair where Candace is sitting now and you want to comment on a previous colleague or student who asked or said something, then you're welcome to do that too.
Not to answer any question, because I mean you didn't have a question, but just to touch on it quickly, I do agree. I know that you said it's neutral, it's not really towards a particular gender, but I think more so towards females. You're seeing it a lot lately, simply hopping into an Uber. You do, being a female, you're this natural obligation where, you know, once reaching your destination, I'm okay dad, I'm okay mom. And I guess that's kind of been normalized. So I agree with you, there needs to be more programs put in place, maybe at a grassroots level, that are kind of not so formal, but more of an informal nature, that are going to teach men, it's sad to say, but are going to teach males from a young age. Listen, this is the position that a lady holds within society, and you need to respect that, and that needs to be normalized, not what's being seen now.
We need to have discussions with men, telling them how they are violent towards their female counterparts, and even if it's not implicit or explicit, just by you catcalling me, or by you different various ways of you just being oppressive to me needs to be discussed. So I think there definitely needs to be a platform like that.
Okay, Candace, while you make your way, the panel will continue commenting. Let's get the next person. Selo, you want to say something?
I think on this issue of violence, it's something that I don't think we took seriously back in 1994. Our society is a violent society. You are socialized in a way that says it's actually okay to slap another if they don't get your message. We socialized like that from young, that one, if the message doesn't come through, your teacher must slap you. They must do damage to you. Then you'll get it. In fact, there were slogans like, "Utlwa ka letlalo," you know.
Which is?
Your skin is the one that sort of hears better than your ears. So I think that those things became so normalized that boy children particularly felt it normal to just do that wherever they went. And I think it said, I'm currently writing a note it's a newsletter for this month on how what has been disturbing is how shocked we were around Karabo. And I had a 10-year-old niece of mine raped 12 years ago. And today she's a young woman who is 22 years old with that damage. So we are damaged. We're very damaged as a nation, and those scars never go away. But the sad thing is, we're creating new scars, and until such time that we stop for a second to say that these new scars need to be dealt with.
Okay, we've got someone sitting down. Introduce yourself. Tell us what's on your mind.
Okay, my name is Mzwandi Lepizo. What I'm about to discuss and ask with the panel is socioeconomic issues that we as the youth are currently facing, and those issues are the same issues that hinder youth leadership when it comes to the corporate market and the social market. In my own observation, I think we as the youth are currently facing these economic issues, which is accessibility to information and education. That has been a problem to the South African, to South Africa recently. Thus, people have been protesting about education. Education is there, but is it correlating with the demand of the labor market? Because if you can give us education, but if I get a qualification and it's not in demand in the market, will I get employed? So what I'm suggesting is that the economic and the labor market should be in touch with the education department and say, guys, this is the problem. These are the skills in demand. What curriculum can be developed to meet these demands that are in the market? And what I'm also suggesting is that there's another socioeconomic issue we're facing, is that there's lack of job creation and market barriers for young entrepreneurs. There's a lot of gatekeeping and red tape for us. When you start a business, when I walk into your company and I'm 22, I'm telling you of my idea, the level of confidence you will have in me is very low, because first of all, there's a cliche and there's a stereotype that young people are not determined. We are not hard workers. Who takes me serious when I put up statistics and say, this is what I'm about to offer? They don't take me serious because I don't have gray hair, but I understand. I believe in the modern world, wisdom doesn't come with gray hair, because there's a lot of information. With the internet, with everything we have, we can access what a person has accessed the past 10 years. I could access that in a week.
Okay. Mzwanele, some big issues you're raising there. I hear a lot of mms in the audience. And trust me, our future events will be even more engaging, okay? Like was suggested, I think, by the Tux SRC president here earlier. For today's purposes, we need to go to the mic there. So, Bongani, you've been quietly listening there, also entrepreneur in your area, trying to make a future. Comment on what's been said here, from education matching the reality out there to entrepreneurial barriers. Yes, we all fight against that, all the legislation that seems the same for a small business as a large business, and the other issues that you raised.
I think most importantly, for me, a word that I'd give to you is productivity, because there's a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of red tape, right? And sometimes we look at our current leaders and we throw problems at them. So we don't know whether we're addressing the problem to Adrian or to the CEO of Nelson Mandela Foundation. So nothing will be solved. I'll give you an example about myself. How I got into hosting the Youth Leadership Platform, I came in as a guest on the platform. And after giving my opinions on politics and things like that, they called me back. Long story short, I'm the host and we co-produce with Sasha. Secondly, we just shot an ad for Earthnut, and we're working on a couple of ads. The people that I'm able to meet on the platform have been able to help me to pursue my entrepreneurial efforts. I still take 2-3 taxis to meet a client and sit them down and tell them why they should give me their business, right? And for me, I don't care what age or whatever categories that they're going to classify me under, because I know the kind of quality of work that I can produce. So proactivity from ours as well. But I do acknowledge that there's a lot of things that are not being addressed. But proactivity, I think, is more important.
Okay. All right, introduce yourself. Go for it. Your comment or question.
Good afternoon, everybody. And thanks to the panel for having us. Okay, I want to talk about purpose, as you had mentioned.
Your name?
My name is Penyo Rakudu. I want to talk about purpose, as you had mentioned earlier. I have a question, a concern, actually, as to how come the issue of purpose, such a heavy thing, something with so much magnitude and weight, why is it not treated with the same level of importance as other things in a child's development, a young teenager's development, for example, going through high school or primary school, high school, varsity, internships, and so forth? How come? And okay, back in my day, all I had was life orientation, LO, which, you know, we really used as a joke going around that says life orientation was used just for doing other subjects' homework. You know, we didn't really do anything in life orientation. So I'm of the opinion that if young people are helped, or conditioned, trained to really, really be looking for their purpose, because purpose isn't so hard to find. It's something that you know that you're passionate about and that you get find fulfillment from, and obviously that you're able to contribute positively to the economy with. I believe that if young people are trained from a young age, from primary school through high school, through their internships as well, after studying, they're getting their degrees, that thing really will make a positive contribution. Also, on the other side, not only from the Department of Education, but also in corporate, where someone graduates, they go work wherever. The run-of-the-mill thing is that, you know, this is what is expected of somebody, and you get a guideline. How about, like someone mentioned earlier, being inclusive. Not necessarily, you know, being inclusive in everything, but having a young person having a sense of purpose in exactly where they fit, how they fit, where do they add value, why do they add value, why are they needed, and so forth. Okay. You know, yes, I think that's something that really, really will
help. All questions are valuable, but this one is there's no prejudice from my side in what I'm going to say now, but that question is almost not one I expected, because are we taught to really find our purpose in school and in high school? And no, you just made me think. You really made me think. I think it's a powerful question and statement, and that certainly touched me. Comments? Maybe everyone on the panel wants to comment on that one.
I have a lot of comments, I can tell you right now. We spoke about this on YLP a couple of weeks ago, and we had a couple of guests in studio talking to us also about education and what and leadership and what are the important parts of this and the elements and the things that need to be focused on. And one of the things that we found is lacking is purpose and actually talking to students about what actually speaks to them. So it's fine, you attend school and, you know, it's kind of this huge mill almost, like everything is mass produced. So if you're not wanting to become an engineer, there's a problem. If you're not wanting to become a lawyer, there's a problem. If you're not wanting to study mathematics, there's a problem. There's something wrong with you. Then people wonder why the person sitting in an engineering position 4 years down the line is not performing at his optimal level, because in his schooling years, secondary years, he was trained, conditioned to think, well, you know what, my purpose must be so and so and so. So I do agree. I'm just, you know, the agreements in that and the importance of that not enough attention is paid to focusing on the emotional needs of youngsters.
And we asked, in a way, talking leadership, because if we really focus on developing leaders from a young age, then the issue of purpose always comes up. Great leaders have a sense of purpose inside of them. So you're touching on leadership. And we don't have enough leadership development and emphasis from a very young age. And I believe the home is the first school of leadership. Then the school becomes that.
Needs, which is where these institutions that I'm talking about have a role to play right into adulthood.
Okay. Selo, you want to comment on the purpose thing?
Penyo, I think you hit me, because I kept on thinking about this thing of how LO particularly is not used effectively. So in the office, for example, every month I have one day in a month of community service. So I insist on having a day. And that day I then, most of the time, go to schools. Because you don't expect a young person like me, I still consider myself young. don't listen to Adrian, whatever he says, okay? Because the board of the Nelson Mandela Foundation appointed me to be CEO at the age of 37. 37 is very young by any other measure, because then those who were doubtful, how can you give such a young man such a big responsibility? And 5 years on, I'm still at it. You know, so for me, the important thing is young people need to be told that your start is not your end. That your circumstances need not determine your future. If you told me in 1990 even that I'd be CEO of the Nelson Mandela Foundation, I would have said, Nyaope, that your smoking is very strong. And if you had said to me that one day I would be sitting in an important panel like this, again, I'd say the dosage of whatever you're taking needs to be reduced. Because the purpose, sense of purpose, and I agree with you wholeheartedly that sense of purpose starts at home. Once that fails, you then need to have someone that you identify with. And it's that person that then gives you a sense of, I need to be chasing that person. And I chase, you're always chasing. And now the question that young people, I leave young people with whenever I go to these schools is, you need to determine the one you are chasing. Who are you chasing? And what you're chasing is that goal of being great one day. And greatness, you determine yourself. So I think that's what we need to be doing more in LO. But I don't think we use it effectively.
All right. Your name, comment, question very quickly. We've got a couple more colleagues who want to come in.
Right. Sanbona. My name is Linda. The point I want to make is quite similar to what Penyo touched on as well. So the one question I have, which is mostly also just for all the young people here and some of the grown young people as well here.
good one.
The question is, what is the South African vision? If we're going to be talking about leadership, we're going to be talking about job opportunities and everything, what I believe we need to ask ourselves first is, what is the South African vision? The reason is that we need to answer this question in order to cover the way for the country. And it's only when we answer this question that we'll know what type of leaders we need. Let's say now we're going to go into 2019 and vote. What kind of a leader do we need to move us forward? And what is forward, really? Because when I look at it, it's like before 1994, there was one common vision amongst most South Africans, which is to end the systematic discrimination, right? They all had different expertise, they all had different interests and purpose, but all of that was generated towards one goal, and that actually carved out a lot of great leaders. Currently, we sit with a leadership crisis from the top all the way down to the bottom, simply because there's no vision.
Okay.
Silo mentioned that most of our young people feel that they just have nothing to do. The reason is that I believe is that if the country as a whole, as a collective, we do not have a vision, then I will not know as a young person where I fit in. What can my passion in life fit into? And last but not least, we're sitting with something that maybe we have not noticed, maybe we have, whereby you find greats such as your Kevin Anderson, your Charlize Theron, Elon Musk, and all of them. Why is it that they feel like they do not fit in or belong into South Africa? They are great minds. The reason, I believe, is because South Africa does not have that environment that has that one great vision that can actually support such great minds. And then we end up training a lot of mining engineers, hence in the panel. And when what we need could be, I don't know, IT technicians or domestic workers, whatever. But we need to have a vision.
Linda, thank you so much. I remember a few years ago sitting with President Zuma in his lounge and asking him, what is your vision for the country? And I wasn't inspired by that answer, to be very honest. I tried to get it from him. And then we have the National Development Plan, which is have you seen how long that vision is? It's beautifully written. These are my personal views. It's like a poem, but it's not giving us the picture that you're talking about. So we need that leadership again, and we need that vision. So very powerful comments there. Tabisile, comment very quickly, and then while another person on the panel comments after you, we'll have the next person come. We only have 5 minutes left.
Thank you for that. But I think it's important to understand that leaders lead people. And therefore, the responsibility of setting up a vision has come from the ground up. Those who were there in the 80s will recall that South Africa became what it was because from the ground up, people demanded to have a cohesion and have a vision. And this is why possibly we have this platform where young people can help shape this vision that they're talking about. I mean, we've got the likes of Natalie in the room who have actually shown us that vision that says South Africa is a country that can allow you to have all the possibilities that we can dream of. It's the lack of cohesion that I think is the problem and not so much the lack of the vision. We need to restate it again and it has to come from the ground up.
So, quick comment?
Yeah, looking at South Africa, South Africa is not Jacob Zuma's country or anyone's country, but it's as they have envisioned the Rainbow Nation, which is the power is in our hands, right? South Africa is us individually and collectively. So we need to get into industries, dominate, and dominate on an international level. Even when we build businesses, that's what they teach them in America, that when you build a business, you're building it for the world, you're not building it for America. That mindset needs to come into play.
What I'm going to do, I'm going to ask our next guest to share her thought or question, and the next person come up and do the same thing straight after her. Then the panel can comment on both, if we can do that. Just to get as many of you in here in the last few minutes. Go for it. Your name and
thank you very much for the opportunity. My name is Nontobe Gongosi. And for me, I think I see a lot of programs where different projects come up, like pad drives and stationary drives or whatever drives come up. But what I've realized is that they're not lasting drives. It's a once-off. Like, if we're really serious about giving girls pads, why are we just doing it once in a month, once in 3 months, and that's gone for that certain community? So for me, it's something, what I think that we need to now do and move forward to doing as South Africans is to build lasting projects that are not just going to be a once off and then it's done, because after you give me the pads, what else am I going to do the following month? But also, I like decentralizing things. So, like, these leadership seminars or forums or whatever projects we come up with, I feel that they're always at the wrong places, because you're empowering the empowered. Like, right now, the people that are here, they've had talks like this before. They've heard it before. They have access to it. They can watch it on the internet and whatnot. But the real people that need to be empowered, that need the information, that are in our communities where we come from, they don't have access to this. That's why we'll forever have this. When someone gets to university or after grade 12, we need to start afresh. You need to find your purpose. You need to find yourself, because from grade R till grade 12, yeah, that person is not getting this kind of information. So I think that we should move this to the communities and have discussions there. Also, what I think we need to do is to now start changing the way, the outlook of what we want to do after varsity, or if you're not, don't go to varsity, what you do, to build an African economy for African people. Because right now, we're all aspiring to be like the Europeans. We're all aspiring to change WITS into making it Harvard. But why can't we make WITS the WITS of Africa? Why can't we change UJ and TUT the way it is now, and to make it a powerhouse for Africa? So I think that we now need to looking into, yeah, what we're aspiring to becoming is foreign to us, and that's why it's difficult to adapt. But Africa has leaders, thought leaders, that are in business, that are in infrastructure, that are everywhere. So I think it's time that we start investing, yeah, in Africans for Africans.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Quickly, next one, throw your question. We'll see what sticks with the panel.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Kenneth Diola. I'm with the Gordon Institute for Business Science. I just want to put a few things into context, because we're particularly speaking about youth. South Africa, as we know it today, has a population which is 51.5% under the age of 25, right? One of those, in that age, one in three is neither employed, education, or training. It is important that we note those things. It is important that we note that on a daily basis, over 200 young people, young women in particular, black women, are being infected with HIV. It is important that we understand that every morning we pass a Thabo or a Jacob who stands on the street with potential of people that he should be working with, if not even managing. And we have never contextualized that particular conversation. And maybe of all the questions that I have, I'll maybe ask this following, that one thing that we see as we're talking about entrepreneurship is that we need to produce more entrepreneurs. In South Africa, what we're noting is that South Africa's entrepreneurship activity stands at 7%, whereas the African average stands at about 28%. And part of that 7% is that we are seeing that the entrepreneurs who are emerging are what we call survivalist entrepreneurs. So they basically open a tuck shop to hire one or two people to survive. So how do we change that particular narrative to ensure that, one, we can create better entrepreneurs who can scale up quickly, but two, and equally most importantly, who we can include a lot of young people in society? Because I think the conversation has for a long time been at a very micro level and has forgotten the people on the ground. Thank you.
Right, panel.
Well done. Just to answer on Tobago, this was for the purpose of the launch. We are hosting national youth leadership conversations, and we're taking those to townships and relevant places. Because, for instance, there's certain townships that are affected by the blesser, blessee culture and lifestyle. And it's only fitting to invite members of that community and talk to them. So we're taking it to the people. It's not going to be in settings like this. And then in terms of entrepreneurship, like you were saying, I think our entrepreneurs need to be educated in a sense that they need to know that when you start a business, you must commit the rest of your life to that one thing. A lot of the entrepreneurs want to start a business and then look good and live good, but not noting that all the people that are looking good and living good that are listed on stock exchanges, they've been at it 50, 30 odd years, just to say the least. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Tabasile is going to just wrap up for us. I mean, what a difficult job to do. I feel bad that we can't get to all of you. This is the beginning. It's not the end. This is not a single event. The word sustainability came up earlier. We've got to become more sustainable in our projects and everything that we do. That was mentioned. So we that's why we have a big brother, sister, Sibanye, you know, to help us move forward and do more than just run shows. Okay, so Tabasile, just wrap up a minute.
Yeah, thank you so much to everybody who's participated in this panel. It is a start, and to the audience. We are hoping to have a lot more of this conversation, but I think two things come up for me. The power of networking. I'm hoping young people would be able to use this opportunity to make sure that you don't leave here without having found somebody that you can work with. Going forward. Another important aspect is an aspect of mentors. You will not go anywhere if you don't ask for people who have done it before. So I'm hopeful that you've got the likes of Natalie, Adrian, Silo sitting here. Demand that they mentor you. Lastly, I believe there's a lot of young leaders available in this country, but they are not taking up their rightful place. Somebody was saying you keep on training new people because the next breed then goes into the suburbs and doesn't go back. Guys, this is my plea for you to go back to where you come from and give back. Let the conversation not stop with you. Let the conversation impact on people that have brought you up. Let the communities from which you come from thrive because you became. Thank you.
At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za. Cliffcentral.com.